Once upon a time, people, two of us, came to pray.
Oh God, I thank you that I am not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all my income.
Oh God, be merciful upon me, a sinner.
Excuse me, could you hold it down over there? Can't you see I'm trying to pray? Jiminy Christmas.
Sheesh.
Lord, this is just what I was talking about, God. Can you believe who they are letting in these days?
Sorry. I'm just trying to pray over here. You know, I don't get here very often, and I don't get to practice prayer very often. You look fancy over there. You look like you know what you're doing. Yeah, I don't get to come here very often because of, well, my profession.
Well, I should think not. As a matter of fact, I was just mentioning you in my prayers. Lord, I know I need to pray every day. Otherwise, I could end up like that tax collector. Cast out, working for the Roman occupiers, collecting money for some false idol. I don't know how you could possibly think God would listen to you.
Maybe God doesn't listen to me. But I remember a psalm that my mother used to tell me when things weren't going so well and we were troubled. It went something along these lines, like, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble, I think it was. Well, I am in trouble because of people like you. So how about you leave me alone for just a little bit? Let me have a little bit of peace so I can just pray.
Fine. God, I really thank you that I'm not like other people. Thieves, rogues, adulterers, and especially this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of my income. I help widows and children. I pick up trash along the sidewalk on Wednesday. I'm in the Kiwanis Club. And I recycle.
Oh Lord, I am indeed a sinner. As well evidenced by my rising desire to punch this self-righteous, egomaniacal, religious nut right in the kisser. But God, I am not worthy to pray to you, even though you said you would listen to me. After all, they kicked me out of the Rotary Club when they found out I was a tax collector. But I do pick up trash on Thursdays. And it's really not my fault that the recycling truck doesn't come down my neighborhood. Oh. But God, please, can you help me?
They have bins.
What?
They have bins for recycling.
They have bins for recycling? For God's sake, what does that have to do with prayer? I'm down here trying to pray, and you're talking about recycling?
This is just why we don't let people like you in here, because you don't know anything at all.
Excuse me, excuse me.
It's not about recycling. What?
I don't think either one of you are getting it at all. It is not about you. I think you surely missed where it is written. The days are surely coming when I will make a new covenant with my people. I will be their God, and they will be my people. It's about what God is doing, not what you are doing. Pharisee? Can I call you Mr. Pharisee?
Yes, I suppose.
You seem to think God loves you because of your righteousness and perfect prayer. Well, not so much. God loves you even without all of that. You're all form and no fidelity.
Ha!
Miss Tex... Miss Tax Collector, at first I thought you were on something with all that humility. But now I see you just like the Pharisee, however, on the other side of the coin. You talk a good game, but you still think it's all about you. God loves you even without all of that. That's the good news. God brings you love.
God brings you love? Wow.
Love, that's it?
Love?
That's all you've got?
God brings you love?
Stupid kid.
Maybe smart kid, though. Love? Maybe.
Who knew?
Love. I don't know. Pharisee.
Tax collector. Sheesh.
Amen.
Wait, we're not done! You would love for us to be done, but we are not done. You just hang on to your horses there, Mr. Organist.
It's not about you.
It's not about you.
Following instructions.
That's what the Catholics said right before the Reformation. We wanted to share that little bit with you and that text with you because...
Thanks, Hunter.
Yeah, thank you, Hunter. Where is Hunter? Way to go, buddy. This is our celebration of the Reformation. And we want to remember what we're really about as part of the Reformation. It's all about this idea of what is law and gospel. This last week, we both had the real joy of being able to hear Dr. Guy Irwin lecture about the Reformation and what it means for today. Dr. Irwin is one of our newest bishops, and it was just a delight to hear him ask the question, what does the Reformation really mean anymore? And I remember he showed a slide, and they had the various logos that people have come up with. You know, well, my favorite one was Luther 500.
Yeah.
I thought it was a NASCAR race. Not a bad idea, the Luther 500, right? All the acolytes running around and around. But it needed to be something more than that. What Dr. Irwin shared with us is that what Luther was after really was not just a change in the religious practice, a change in the religious norms. What he was looking for was a change of heart and community. He said to us that maybe one of the reasons Luther became so grumpy and strident in his writing toward the end of his time was that he felt such an intense and keen bitterness that this experiment that he had hoped would change the community in so many ways simply failed.
October 31st, 1517, Luther posted those theses on the door of the Wittenberg Church and challenged the church of the day. And ever since then, we Lutherans, I think, have been challenging old ideas, developing new ones, and continually reforming the church. And we Lutherans, when Luther was posting those theses up on the wall, he wasn't just setting up a series of arguments, he was also asking two really important and fundamental questions that we still ask today. What does this mean? And how is this showing Christ to the world?
And those are the same questions that we need to continue to ask. We need to be asking those questions every day and not be about the religious equivalent of rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. One of the gifts that Dr. Irwin gave us this weekend was to remind us that especially the Lutheran flavor, or the ELCA flavor of Lutheranism, has some phenomenal gifts to bring to the table. And he showed himself as an example. Dr. Irwin went through seminary many, many years ago, but he was ordained less than 1,000 days before before he was elected bishop. Why? Well, Dr. Irwin is gay and in relationship. Partnered for 20 years. When he went through seminary, he could not be ordained. when in 2009 we changed that rule, he was ordained. By the way, he's one of the only bishops who never served full-time in a congregation either. But for years, for decades, he taught in our seminaries and colleges. So in 2009, he was ordained, and in 2013, he was elected. I'm sorry, no, he was ordained in 2011. 2013, he was elected bishop of the Southwest California Synod. A brilliant pastoral mind and a heck of a lecturer. People always ask us after the Professional Leaders Conference, how was it? And I usually say,
it was okay, but
wow, we were challenged. And what he said is, look, the ELCA, Lutherans today, have something to bring to the table that very few denominations will bring. First of all, exactly what Pastor Angela said, we're asking questions. We're asking questions all the time. And secondly, he pointed out to us, because we forget about it in the thick of it, that we are one of the only denominations who is always about trying to form bridges with other denominations, other faiths, even other religions. We're really interested in the interreligious and ecumenical dialogue. We spend money, time, and effort to build the body of Christ in that way. Now, he rightfully pointed out we're much better at doing that with others than we are with other Lutherans. But you can't have everything.
Mm-hmm. We can try.
Yeah.
So why is it that we celebrate the Reformation every year? Well, Bishop Irwin reminded us that the Reformation is not just about what happened so many years ago, but it's about the church continuing to ask those formative questions of who are we, what is it that we're about, and how are we sharing Christ with the world? And I love Reformation Sunday because it's an opportunity to like bring out the German side of my life, but it's also an opportunity to not just celebrate with victory or triumph what we did some 500 plus years ago, but to say, how is it that we are still reforming, still changing, still being the body of Christ in the world, a very important voice that we have as Lutherans.
And we ask the question then, how will we dream ourselves into this new Reformation? How will God be dreaming us into a new kind of church and a new way of being? Those are exciting things to think about. To not just be mired in the past and celebrate what was, but to begin to understand how we, rooted in this gospel, this grace that was given to us in Jesus Christ, that peace that Luther brought out so strongly, how will it help transform our hearts, our communities, and even our world? That's at the core of what we're up to. We worry about who we can let in and whether or not tax collectors should be able to be around. We worried at one time about whether or not Pastor Angela could actually stand here and be a pastor. We worried about whether gay people or black people or people of all kinds of different kinds could actually be a part of the community. And God says, yes.
Jesus said, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. That's what we're all about, my friends. Freedom in Christ. Freedom to know that we are loved and called and chosen and sent to be the body of Christ in the world.
And if Christ sets you free, you will be free indeed.
Amen.